Welcome to Faith on the Field Show, presented by Karen University. I'm Rob Motti with Pastor Kyle Horner and Remy Motti. It is just the three of us. Doug Horton has transitioned into his new role for this show as the Executive Vice President of Business Operations and Production. Look at that big fancy title.
You can't get that all on the business card, man.
Maybe we got to call him boss. He's over here cracking the whip, making sure we stay online, stay on target, showing me how much time we have. It is definitely a very important role as we expand and grow and bring Faith on the Field to more and more people across the world. There are exciting things ahead, and we are going to keep you posted. Our guest this week is someone that we are all very familiar with.
Yes.
It is Philadelphia Eagles tight end Zach Ertz. And Zach is coming off a record-setting year. And it's a big week, a big month ahead for Zach and his wife Julie, because she's a Team USA soccer star. And they're playing in the World Cup, and he's out in Europe supporting her, cheering her on. So we're going to hear from Zach shortly. And Pastor Kai, I know you have a really good relationship, a close relationship with Zach. So this is going to be a fun one.
I love them both. I mean, they are truly the real deal. They're amazing people at every level.
Yeah. And I saw them. They were at church together, I guess, right before, a couple weeks ago.
Yeah.
They were there together, and it was just, it's so cool, because I see Zach every week, and whether it's with Julie or Camus whoever else, he's always got a crew he's bringing
them in
there.
Yeah, exactly.
He brings them in, and we were talking about that the other day, like, hey, he's like, I'm just trying to do what I can, It's pretty cool, but what Zach and Julie are, really, is like, they're the ultimate power couple in sports. They're both at the top of their profession, and they're what you would call a marketing agency's dream. Like, every brand ambassador out there, anyone in the world, would want to represent Zach and Julie Ertz. And the cool thing, what I love about the two of them, and just having so many opportunities to chat with Zach about this, is his top priority isn't being branded. His top priority is the one he represents. And that's representing our Savior, Jesus Christ, and glorifying the Lord, really, through that gigantic platform that they've been given, that they've been blessed with, and they recognize that. So they're not just superstar athletes, but they themselves are their brand ambassadors. And they're brand ambassadors for the kingdom. And those of us, any of us, really, who are Christians, we're also brand ambassadors for Christ. Mm-hmm. See, no matter what profession you're in or who you are nowadays, everybody's got a brand and they're building their brand and all that stuff. But as a Christian, we're trying to build the brand or be the ambassador for Christ's brand. But how are we representing him? Are we more concerned about our image? Are we more concerned about our own popularity, our own social status? Are we trying to fit in with the crowd? Because sometimes it's not always easy to represent Christ in this world. And if we're more concerned about fitting in with everyone around us, we're going to have a tough time representing Christ the way he should be represented, the way he wants us to represent him. And if we're too busy trying to please other people, we really can't please the Lord. And if we're worried about the persecution, then we won't be putting the kingdom ahead of our own needs. And I just want to mention a couple verses before, Kyle, you get into it. Jesus said in Matthew 10:22, you will be hated by everyone because of me, but the one who stands firm to the end will be saved. And that just resonates. And then there's Paul writes in 2 Timothy 3:12, everyone who wants to live a godly life in Christ Jesus will be persecuted.
Yeah.
So whose brand is more important to us? Is it our own? Is it Christ? Who are we focused on building? And in Matthew 6:33, Jesus said, if we seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, all these things will be given to you as well.
Yeah, I mean, I think, you know, Robert, we live in this generation of brand identity, don't we?
Yes.
I think it's probably the one of the greatest changes that I've seen, probably, you know, as an adult. And I'm in my 50s now. I've been watching sports for my entire life growing up in the household that I grew up in. And I think that looking back, it's not just that the game has changed. You know, the football has changed. Basketball has certainly changed. If you've been watching the NBA finals, hockey has certainly changed. Baseball, the contracts have certainly changed. But I think one of the things that has changed the most is really the athletes owning brand identity.
Yeah.
Because before, they used to have to go to New York, right? Or L.A., and they, that was part of the big draw in sports, is the, where you were located.
Madison Avenue,
correct,
New York,
exactly.
Everybody talks about.
And now, with social media and the concepts of a much wider world exposure, the brand identity has come to the forefront. And I think there's a positive side of that, and but I think there's a negative side as well, you know. And I think what we need to wrestle with is really understanding the differentiation between brand and platform,
right.
Because you know, brand is what you want people to think about you when they think about you, right?
Mm-hmm.
You know, Nike wants you to think good sporting equipment, Chick-fil-A wants you to think good. You know, chicken sandwiches, Starbucks wants you to think certain types of coffee, relaxation, right? But a platform is what you stand for regardless of what people think of you. And those two things are different.
Yeah.
And the brand, your platform can always influence your brand, but your brand should never influence your platform. So what I stand
for.
That is
so good.
Where's my pen?
I feel like I'm up in church. I got to get my pen out. Say that one more time.
Yeah, I mean, look, you know, a brand is what you want people to think about you when they think about
you. It's your reputation.
Correct, exactly.
Yeah.
But the platform is what you stand on regardless of what people think about you.
Mm-hmm.
So your platform should always influence your brand, but your brand should never influence your platform. I'll give you an example for us from church. You know, at Connect Church, we have a brand, just like every church does. All right. So it's not, there's nothing wrong with it. It's the way that you go about presenting what you're supposed to present.
Right.
Ours is, we want to be culturally relevant, multi-ethnic. We want to be holistically significant. That means we want to impact people's lives on every area.
Yeah.
But our platform is Jesus, right? It's Jesus, 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 right? So the brand can never influence. Trying to be culturally relevant should never influence the platform of Jesus' truth and word. Jesus' truth and word should always be asked, how can we communicate that culturally, irrelevantly in our culture?
Mm.
Not allowing our culture to relevantly determine what Jesus says or doesn't say, what the word says or doesn't say. So that's the, you know, that's what we have to recognize. At some level, we talk all the time with athletes about the platforms that they have.
Yeah.
And I think we're called to steward those platforms well.
Right.
And all of us have platforms. You know, you and Remy have a platform. You have a brand and a platform. As parents, you have a brand, right? The way that you run your household, the way that how you want to raise your kids. But there's a platform. Why do you do that?
Yeah, yeah. What I do it is for Jesus. You know, it's funny when you said that. Like now, it's all clicking. But on all my social media, I always have in my bio, I'm a Christ ambassador.
Yes.
Because to me, I feel like this is always how I represent myself. This is how I want the world to see who I really believe in and who is my platform. Like who am I? Who's my everything?
Yes.
Who's my number one? Yeah. It's Jesus.
Yes.
That's before anything else. And then after that, I put everything else because that's what's important to me. But what you said was really cool. Like I never thought of it that way, between a brand and a platform.
Yeah.
That is really, really cool. I love it. But I feel like everybody represents something every single day.
Absolutely.
You're representing something, like whether it's you know, a brand you like to wear or whatever, or a song, or whatever. It's a culture thing. You represent something every single day. And if you don't represent in the King of Kings, when you have committed your life to Jesus and you say, okay, Jesus is my Lord and Savior, and now I represent him, and now you are his ambassador, and you don't represent him well, that's kind of... It's a shock to me because you're like, if I was a brand and I approach you and I say, hey, wear my clothes because now you're my ambassador, and you don't go and you don't wear my clothes,
you wear something else.
You're like the worst ambassador they could possibly find, and now they're paying you
for it. If you signed a deal with,
you know what I mean?
Yeah, if you're an athlete and you signed a deal with Nike and you roll
and
up
you don't,
playing in
Under Armour
or whatever.
What kind of ambassador are you?
Yes.
But then Jesus paid the ultimate price for you, and he gave it all for you, and then you go and you just don't represent him so well, and I think that's sad.
I mean, but I think at some level, the reason that we want to build our own brand, and at times as Christians we can Christianize that brand, right? We add Jesus to that brand, but the reason why we're actually trying to promote brand so much is because it's what people think about us. Yeah. It still brings us back into the center of the equation. Whereas the platform that you stand on, when what you're saying is true, we're standing on Jesus. The purpose of humanity should actually bring the glory back to Him.
Yes.
So the way that we present Him, what you're saying is absolutely right. We should wear the clothes and wear them well.
Wear them well. Mm-hmm.
But it's still not about how good they look on us.
No, it's true.
It's still all about how good the clothes are that He gave us. It brings it back to us.
Right.
And I think that's where it gets murky sometimes in our lives because, let's be honest, I like attention.
There's that line that we have to walk.
Yeah.
And you and I've had this conversation with you.
Yep.
Remy and I have had multiple conversations about, like, there's nothing wrong with building your brand.
No, it's absolutely right. What brand are you building?
I don't want anyone to think out there that we're trying to say there's brand building is a... No, there's nothing wrong with trying to build your brand and utilizing your platform to better yourself and your family. But at the end of the day... Like, who are you trying to glorify, yourself or the Lord? And I've had problems with self-promotion. Like, it's a struggle for me to self-promote.
Yeah.
And I feel like, and I've had meetings, and I've had people come at me and say, hey, you know what? You really should be doing this better. Uh-huh. You should be marketing here more. You have this platform, you have this pedigree, and you're not using... You're not maximizing everything. What is it about? Is it about your faith? Is it because you don't want? Sometimes it is because, like, I feel like there's a line that I don't want to cross where trying to shamelessly self-promote becomes misconstrued as I'm all about me and I'm trying to be conceited and arrogant. So I probably err on the side of doing nothing.
No, you do err on the side of that. Okay. Yeah, it's not probably. You do. And it's true.
You've told me that.
Yeah.
I think it's important to have the right people, the right team around you doing those things. And I think sometimes, like, I'm so careful not to self-promote that I miss opportunities.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I clearly miss opportunities. But it's about, like, trying to walk that line of healthy brand building as opposed to shameless self-promotion. And it's a struggle. Remy and I, we've actually had to take our brand, right? Because Remy and I were on reality television.
Yeah.
And we created a brand. And we wanted to utilize that platform and that brand to reach people for Christ.
Yes.
Yet, because of reality television and what it is.
That makes it almost an impossibility, doesn't it?
It wasn't impossible.
Yeah.
It was difficult.
It was yeah,
because
difficult.
Now people perceive you one way because of the role you play. However, as they get to see more and more of you, and this is where social media sometimes is absolutely horrific. And I talked about this the other day as I do all the time, digress a little bit. But we all saw what happened with Beyonce, Jay-Z, and the Golden State Warriors majority owner's wife, when she's sitting there, Beyonce's in the middle, Jay-Z's on the end, and she reaches over just leans in and asks them for their drink order. And Beyonce just gives, like, some sort of look that got construed on
the side eye.
Yeah, like on social media, somebody just posted this saying, Beyonce's not feeling this woman trying to talk to Jay, right? And then that goes viral, and all of Beyonce's, like, what is it, her beehive, right?
Yeah, her beehive, yeah.
Beehive,
yeah.
Beehive, whatever they call it.
I don't know.
They come at this woman, and she was doing was asking. So that's, to me, the worst of social media. But the good part of social media is how Remy and I were able to kind of take that brand that we built on social media, on reality TV, and the way people perceived us in the roles that we played. Like, I played a meathead. She played a spoiled brat, a diva. And that became the perception. But as people started to follow us because of that, and as Remy and Rob's trending on Twitter and everything else, that was pretty cool to see, hashtag Remy and Rob. We could still trend if anybody wants to get that going.
So, sure.
Why don't we get hashtag Faith on the Field show, too?
Right.
Let's get that trend, hashtag FOTF.
Hashtag Jesus.
But as they start to follow and they get to know who we are, and they really see the real us, that there's a turn. There became a turn in people. And instead of getting all of the, I can't believe you married, and all this negative stuff about her, and then negative stuff about me, and all that stuff, it starts to turn. But it took a lot of time.
Absolutely.
And it took a lot of work.
Yep.
So building a brand and then trying to change your reputation is very difficult. It's doable, but it's very difficult. So I've always tried to walk this line of, all right, there was a perception out there that wasn't the real me. I showed people who the real me is. I show them who the real me is through every single time a troll attacks me to this day by replying with love in some sort of way. And it's been a process. So now when it comes to branding and self-promotion, I struggle because I'm like, all right, I need a team around me to take care of that. I don't do it well enough. But then all of those who are in those positions, the brand ambassadors I speak to, the bosses, they say, well, everyone can do it for you, but it's up to you to utilize your platform to also put it out there.
Yeah.
And that's where the struggle is. And I'm sure there's other people out there who may be facing something similar. Like, you may be tossed, you know, you might be walking this line going, I don't want to be too much. I don't want to be this. I don't want it to be all about me. So, Kyle, make me feel better about it, man.
No, look.
Like, what can I do?
You just described the Christian life, first of all. Because, you know, the truth is, this is the struggle that we have all the way around. But what you said was really powerful when we look at it from a personal perspective that everybody can relate to is that, you know, there is a platform that we're standing on. And whatever that causes or the deep belief that you hold, ours happens to be Christianity and the foundation of Jesus. My brand should always come out of that and should always be the direction of that. But what you said is powerful, Rob, because we can't do that alone. Mm. We need a team of people around us, right? We've talked about this on the show before. Proverbs 27:17, iron sharpens iron. Yeah. It's one of the most positive things that we see about the players in the leagues that we look at, that they're not going through this alone. We all have blind spots, so I need people around me to go, hey, You're not going far enough, or hey, you went a little too far,
right.
and be able to do that, because left to our own devices, the Bible says our heart is deceitful above all things. Mm-hmm. You know, we don't know our own heart. We think we do. You know, you don't know my heart.
Yeah.
Yeah, you don't know your own heart, right? So, like, at the end of this, I think this is one of those powerful things. So, as long as our platform is the driving force to that actually directs the brand, then we can actually have people take the help us live out the brand better. But if the brand is the thing that's driving the platform, I think that's where the biggest trap is, to fall into self-pride, self-reliance, and, you know, we become egotistical. We're trying to control people's ideas of us. Mm-hmm. When you're trying to control what people think about you in this world,
that's hard.
It's an impossibility. Yeah. So you just have to be faithful to the message that you're
carrying.
Be faithful to the message that you believe you're carrying. Mm-hmm. Because we have watched athletes, men and women of faith, who are doing phenomenal things for people all over the world, right? And they can post something about helping kids in Haiti get education or get food or whatever. And one of the 399 comments that are going to be on there is like, you should be doing that here. How about 100, right? So people are always going to take it. You can't control that.
No.
But as long as you know the platform that you are standing on, your brand should always come out of that.
It's true. And you know what, though? God puts you in places a specific time for a reason. And when I look back at my life, I mean, I, in a million years, I would have never thought I would be here or on TV or anywhere. I mean, listen, guys, I was the shyest human being could possibly think of.
Imagine that, Remy being shy.
No. You have no idea. Like, when I was really little, when people used to come visit me or visit my family, I would literally hide under a bed. Like,
I could not believe this story.
Seriously, I would hide under my bed, sit there for hours. And everybody would come up and be like, come up, it's okay. You know, it's
like
all
any
right.
family, like, cousins, anyone?
Yeah, cousins and family. I'd be like, I'm happy right here, right here. And I would play by myself and they like little thing. And I
when did this stop?
I would say when I moved here.
Wow.
When I moved here.
Which was 16 years old.
15, I was 16,
15.
Yeah, it was 20 years ago. That gives me age, but whatever. So, yeah. So I was
6 years ago. 6 years. 6 years ago.
Yeah. So I was really, really shy, really timid, would not want to speak to anybody, don't want to deal with the world, right? And then I moved here, and then somehow, I mean, it was the craziest story, but somehow I ended up on TV. Me, on TV. The shyest girl.
Right.
The shyest
That's
girl.
Crazy.
God put her on TV. And then now I have all these fans, and it's been 6 years now. I mean, mm-hmm. I've been doing TV for a while, like a couple years now. But these guys would, like, these women would reach out to me and just tell me all these stories and open up to me. And like they tell me, hey, it's because of your faith I found Jesus. It's because of this I found it. And I was like, whoa, really? Yeah. Me through this, through Bridezilla's, through marriage book? I'm like, really? This is like the craziest things. And then now I'm here, I'm doing radio. Like, what? Yeah. It's just so weird. Like, but then platform. God gives
on
you that platform.
On sports.
For
I know. And who doesn't like sports?
Love that.
Yes,
And you're not a big fan of sports.
So if God puts you here, he puts you here for a reason. So just use that platform and just use it to the best of your ability and promote yourself, because you're ultimately promoting him.
That's the key. Yeah. Who are you promoting? That's what it comes down to. If you're only self-promoting for your own personal gain, if you're not using it to glorify the Lord, if you're not using it to bless other people, and what we see with Zach and Julie, and what we see with some of the other athletes that you know, Pastor Kyle, and who've started foundations, they're using it to bless other people. And here's, as I talk about my struggles, it's kind of like people don't know the extent of some of your relationships with some of these. You never talk about it, right? You don't talk about it. You don't post pictures. You never see never see Kyle with any pictures of any athletes or anything like that. And that is somewhat there are brand ambassadors who would come to you and be like, hey, you know, you could do this, that, and the other. Mm-hmm. And I'm sure maybe they have.
Yeah, they have.
But you hold steadfast. Why is that?
The platform. Mm-hmm. Because I recognize that the platform of stewarding what Jesus has given me and treating it as holy. Mm-hmm. And, you know, look, this is their story to tell. And I know my role in their life. My role is not to make my name famous off of them.
Yeah.
My job is actually to make Jesus' name famous in them. And so, and that's okay. But I just really want to know, say this, though. It is hard. Like, it's a daily battle to not do that, because...
So you're human, too.
No, I've had to wrestle. I struggle.
Yeah.
So I every day, you know, and every time I have those opportunities, I have to check myself and make sure, once again, am I handling what God has given me well?
Right.
Because that's what holiness looks like. Holiness is not doing certain things or doing other things. It's, are you handling what God has given you well for his glory?
I have tremendous respect for you and your ability to do that, and it's inspirational. Mm-hmm. Honestly, like sometimes when I'm struggling with something, I honestly look back and Remy and I go, how would Kyle handle it? How would Kyle handle it? And the way you do that, man, it's pretty powerful, and it's very inspirational. Up next, we're gonna hear from Zach Ertz. This is Faith on a Field Show, presented by Cairn University.
Cairn University is a biblical university located in Langhorne, Pennsylvania, just 25 minutes from Center City, Philadelphia. With NCAA Division III athletics, a strong commitment to the arts, and majors in over 40 professional and academic fields, Cairn prepares students to serve Christ as biblically minded, well-educated, and professionally competent men and women of character. Learn more at Cairn.edu.
And welcome back to Faith on the Field Show, presented by Cairn University. Rob Motti, Pastor Kyle, and Remy. If you missed any of our previous episodes, go to faithonthefieldshow.com. You can find every past show. You can listen anytime at your convenience. You can also follow us on Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, at Faith on the Field. You can sign up for our weekly email list. Make sure you do sign up. We're branding, right? We're talking about branding and building. Yes. Sign up for our weekly email list. Make sure you follow us. Make sure you give us a review on iTunes and everything else. Tell your friends. Share it out. You'll get our weekly episode. You'll get our blog delivered right to your inbox. I also post all my speaking appearances on social media, so be sure to check it out, including when I'm going to be doing some sports shows on 97.5 The Fanatic and anywhere else. And make sure to follow me at Rob Motti. Remy is at Remy Motti, and Pastor Kyle is at Kyle J. Horner. Mm-hmm. Zach Ertz, guys, set an NFL record for most catches by a tight end in a single season with 116 last year after catching the winning touchdown in the Eagles Super Bowl victory over the New England Patriots. What was it, 41-33, right?
Yep.
41-33 in February 2018. He's a two-time Pro Bowl pick. He should have been an All-Pro, but as I had to tell numerous Eagles fans and some of the media who yelled at me, neither I nor any of my AP colleagues vote for the NFL awards. We simply assign the voters, who consist of national writers and media, including several former players, and I can give you that list. It's public. We only count the votes, name the winners, and hand out the awards at that NFL honors the night before the Super Bowl. So Zach should have been an All-Pro, but he wasn't, and maybe we need to check our voters again. It was Travis Kelce and George Kittle. Nonetheless, Zach is he's a premier tight end and is well on his way to having a Hall of Fame career. I chatted with Zach before he left for Europe to see his wife Julie play with Team USA in a World Cup, and here is that interview. Zach, what is it like being on the other end? Not the guy on the field, but in the stands, cheering on your wife and cheering on Team USA. What is that like for you?
Yeah, it's special. I mean, it's definitely something that is unique in the sense that as an athlete, you always feel like you have control of the game or you have control of the situation, where when I'm sitting in the stands, I'm just a casual person that has a vested interest in seeing the team succeed, seeing Julie succeed. But it definitely is a lot different than playing because, like I said, you have no control when you're just sitting in the stands. And as an athlete, I feel like you always want to be like, oh, if I only played better, if I only did this better. But in this case, when I'm sitting in the stands, it's just like, let's go, babe. Let's go, Julie. Let's go, team.
Now, I saw you cheering on the Sixers, sitting at courtside some of those playoff games, and obviously you can enjoy that role being a fan. How different is it, though, when it's not other guys, a team like the Sixers, but this is your wife, this is your partner, your other half?
I mean, it's awesome. Being married to Julie, being able to support the people that we love, to see them doing what they love to do, is so much different than just watching a game on TV or at a Sixers game, because I see all the work that Julie does each and every day. I see all the adversity she's faced over the past 7 years we've been together. I've seen the injuries. I've seen her cry. I've seen the blood. I've seen the tears, you know. And it's just because she loves the game that I'm just so invested in seeing her succeed, because I see the work that she puts in every day. And it's just fun being out there, seeing her do what she loves, seeing all that hard work pay off. It's very similar to, I feel like, how she would view me and watching me play. It's very, very cool.
Now, you two, you and Julie, you're a unique couple, obviously, both being athletes, the top of your game. And that puts you in a special position. You got a huge platform. And some people, Zach, sometimes they may use a platform like that to promote themselves, to promote their brand. And I see how you use it, one, to promote someone bigger than you. We know you and I share the same faith. And sometimes also you're using it often to give back through the Ertz Family Foundation. So why is doing that so important to both of you?
Yeah, I mean, it's huge. I mean, obviously, Julie and I, our relationship is built on a love of Christ that we have. First and foremost, you know, we met in college. We met before Julie was a stud, or I knew that she was a stud soccer player before she knew that I played football. And wow. So our marriage and our relationship was just based off the love that we have for one another. And so the love we felt from each other, the love we feel in our faith, we just want to be able to give that back to people all over the world, all over this country. And we started our foundation about a year ago now. And that is the main goal, is to just show people love, show people hope, and that no matter where they are, that there are people out there that still love and care about them. Obviously, the emphasis and the means is sports and education. But we're definitely excited with where we're going with this thing. We feel like we could be on the verge of announcing and doing something really big in the city of Philadelphia. And we just love to have the opportunity to give back.
That's awesome. Now, I know you both have obviously hectic schedules. That means your seasons are sometimes you don't align and you're often apart. And you just mentioned this a little bit, and you've told me before that the foundation for your marriage is Christ. How vital is it to build your relationship on the foundation of the Lord, especially in a situation, in a unique situation like the two of you have with your marriage?
Yeah, I mean, I could probably say with absolute certainty that what we've done over the past 2.5 years of marriage would be dang near impossible if the foundation wasn't on Christ. Just everything that we deal with, everyone pulling without Christ being that foundation and understanding that we represent something so much bigger than just Zach and Julie. Our marriage was built on that foundation and will be continued to be built on that foundation because we don't feel like we could do it any other way.
Zach, now on the field, you had a record-setting season last year, and you guys are obviously Super Bowl champions in 2017. What motivates you? What pushes you to go out there, do it again, maybe even go to another level?
I mean, the motivation is to never be satisfied with just what I've done recently. I mean, my goal was to win a Super Bowl. If that was my only goal, I would have been satisfied 2 years ago. If my goal was to break the record for catches in a year, I would have been satisfied after last year. And just constantly trying to improve, find little ways that I can improve, trying to be one of the best tight ends to ever play the game. But ultimately, I think glorify the Lord through it all is the biggest thing. I mean, he's given me so many gifts to play this game, surround me with so many people along the way that have gotten me here that I'm just trying to do the best I can each and every day, improve each and every day. And I'm excited. I mean, I think everyone's excited in the city for this football team. It's probably one of the most talented football teams I've ever been on. From the top of the roster down, there's just so much depth. There's so much experience on this team. And having a quarterback like Carson, obviously, who just signed a great deal for him, we're excited about the future. It's going to be a fun fall.
And speaking of Carson, I know you were close with Carson. You were close with Nick Foles. And they had a special relationship that outsiders might not really understand because most people will just look at that situation and assume there's going to be jealousy, there's going to be bitterness, maybe some resentment. But there wasn't any of that with those two guys. Why do you think they were so close? And do other teammates see that and maybe it impacts their relationship with each other if Carson and Nick could have handled what they did the way they did?
I think the quarterback position kind of sets the stage for the entire team. The culture of the quarterback, who he is on and off the field, is really going to be a big factor in how the culture of the entire team is. And with Carson and Nick the past couple years, the selflessness that they showed towards one another was really, I think, astounding and resounding, I think, within our entire organization. I mean, you have two guys who are in the prime of their careers willing to kind of take a back seat, especially in Nick's situation, take a back seat and just unwaveringly support the other person. And when Carson got hurt, he was supporting Nick. And when Carson came back, Nick was supporting Carson. And you just don't see that in the NFL, really. You don't see that in a league where it's all about me. And really, society today is all about what can I get, what can I do to further my career. Mm-hmm. You really don't see that. And those two, I think their faith, obviously, is paramount in that. They're playing for something much bigger than just the careers of themselves as individuals. And I think the light of the Lord really shone through those two during that time.
Beautifully said, Zach. Now tell me, what are you doing with FanDuel? How can fans see what you're going to be doing and how you're going to be following Julie and Team USA and the World Cup and everything else that you have going on coming up?
Yeah, so I'm pumped to be partnering with FanDuel. What they're doing for the women's sport, what they're doing for the women's game is really incredible. They're doing football, quote-unquote football, fantasy soccer, where people pick their lineups, pick five players, and compete against people from all over the world. And I'm picking a team. My first pick, my captain of the team, without a doubt, would be my wife, Julie. I feel like if I didn't do that, I'd be in big trouble. So I want to start off a good note for the summer.
No doubt.
So Julie's going to be my first pick. I'm excited. I hope everyone wants to compete against me because I think I'm going to win. I think I got a good chance with Julie as my captain.
So now, do you get to change your team every day? Is it a daily thing, or you're going to just have a set lineup and Julie's your number one pick, or do you have to keep picking her every time you submit your lineup?
Well, Julie would always be my number one
pick,
of course.
All right, good. Just making sure.
So this is going to be the second lineup that I've done. The first lineup that I did was the first day of the tournament, so okay. It was France against South Korea. Mm-hmm. And so I picked players just from those two teams to pick my lineup. And so it's based off the day that you're playing and the teams that are playing. And Julie, obviously, when they play, will be my number one pick.
All right, one last thing before you go, Zach. If anyone wants to get involved or do anything to help with the Ertz Family Foundation, where should they go and what should they do?
Yeah, so obviously we're calling it the Ertz Family Foundation because we want this to be an extended family. This isn't Zach and Julie Ertz doing things around the community. We want everyone to be involved as they see fit. And you can go to ErtzFamilyFoundation.org to kind of check out what we've done and what we've been doing. And we hope throughout the country. So we're excited about the possibilities. We're excited about the future. And we're just thankful to be in this spot.
All right, brother. Appreciate your time, man. Thank you, Zach.
Thanks, Rob. See you, bud.
And that was Eagles tight end Zach Ertz. We're going to talk about the interview next on Faith on a Field Show, presented by Cairn University.
Located in Langhorne, Pennsylvania, just 25 minutes from Philadelphia, Cairn University is the right place for students to get a dynamic experience centered on Christ and His Word. Students are equipped professionally, personally, and spiritually, and make an impact on the local community and surrounding cities. Cairn is close to everything that matters for future educators, pastors, social workers, entrepreneurs, musicians, and more. See if Cairn is the right place for you. Schedule a visit today at cairn.edu/visit.
Welcome back to Faith on the Field Show, presented by Cairn University. Rob Motti, Pastor Kyle, and Remy. We just heard from Zach Ertz, and so much in that interview about what he discussed and what he's doing, including the stuff he's doing with FanDuel, which I thought is so cool that he's like, he's got to take Julie.
Yeah,
first,
I mean, like,
right?
He's not going to pick his wife first.
And it's a daily thing that they do, so it's not cool. Like you don't just submit one, like the fantasy football season where you submit one lineup and now you got to pick up and whatever. No, it's daily. So I was like, all right, you're going to keep picking Julie? He's like, oh, yeah, she's my first round, my number one pick.
He won't be able to go home if he doesn't pick Julie, let alone she's a beast out there. So
right.
Absolutely great pick.
So, yeah, so that's pretty cool to see how people can follow along and play against Zach and do. I love what he said, because his marriage is, I mean, how difficult would this be for us? You know, like I go, like, you know,
I mean, I'm clingy, man. I don't know.
I know. I go 6 hours and she's like texting me where you at.
Oh yeah.
When you're coming home, there.
I mean, like,
seasons,
you have 5 minutes if you don't text me back. Yeah.
I mean,
the cops. Like, I don't know.
Their seasons are like so. They're opposite. You know, he's on the road. She's on the road. And we talked to him about this before, and you know better than anyone, but I love what he said. He's like, I can say with absolute certainty that what we've done in the 2.5 years of marriage would be near impossible if the foundation wasn't on Christ. And we did a whole show on it. I think it was with Kirk Cousins. The topic was building your foundation on Christ. And he says it would be impossible without understanding we represent something so much bigger than just Zach and Julie, and our marriage was built on that foundation, will continue to be built that way. So I know we're talking about building our brand and being ambassadors for Christ, but I want to talk about this a little bit because it is so important. Like in a relationship like that, or in any relationship, whether you're far apart often, you're on the road often, or in Remy and I's case, we're together quite a bit, to have your foundation built on the foundation of Christ is such a critical element. Because we're always going to get derailed somehow. We're always going to go through issues one way or another. And if we don't have that to fall on, if we don't have Christ to follow, then we're going to be sidetracked and we're going to go off.
Yeah, we always say, you know, I know in marriage counseling, they'll say, the building block of all great relationships is communication. And I'll say, I believe in communication, but the greatest building block is really forgiveness. Because look, you can be the best communicator on the planet, but if you're communicating unforgiveness, right? That's probably not what you want. But if you understand forgiveness, you can be the worst communicator. People get it. And I think in that whole concept, in this, if we only try to build off of good principles, in our marriages or in our relationships, those are good boundary markers, but they're not good foundational, things to stand on. It's not a good platform to stand on. You know, only Jesus can teach us how to love unconditionally. Only he can bring peace that that we can't. Only He can actually help us to truly put aside our selfish nature and edify and lift up and truly care about someone else. And so I think, you know, when we talk about Zach and Julie, they're so apart for so long, and yet they understand who Jesus is, and that's the common bond that they have.
Yeah.
So that's the glue that holds them together. That's what they talk about. That's what they focus on, who He is in their marriage. Because although they're apart from each other, He's not apart from either of them. So when they actually can focus on Him, He actually is the common denominator that glues them together.
I love that. Forgiveness is a big one. I just had to forgive you this morning because he messed up. Listen, he messed up my hair appointment tomorrow.
Oh, no,
you know how big of a deal that is?
You can't mess that up for a woman.
I'm like, dude, I only go to do my hair once every 3 months?
It just always happens to schedule an appointment when I have a game.
Yeah.
You know, and
I have a game tomorrow.
I'm so sorry, Remy, that you didn't check out his game schedule. Yeah. You know what I mean?
I'm sorry.
Yeah, I'm sorry.
I told him my appointment schedule, and then he tells me not have a game. I'm like, now... You know what I mean? That took a lot of Jesus from me. Let me tell you.
You whipped out the forgiveness, though.
I really did. I forgive you. I forgive him, and I had to reschedule for next weekend, and I made him stand there to listen to my appointment.
Make sure I
do penance.
Oh, yeah.
But it's so true. Like what Kyle was saying is we can communicate terrific. You can be the best communicator, but what are you communicating? If we continued in that scenario right there to communicate anger or resentment or being annoyed,
right? It would have
disintegrated,
right?
But instead you were like, you just moved right on, and I gotta say I'm proud of you for that.
Thanks,
so
honey.
I apologize for not putting it in my book. The other
it's
thing
your fault.
There's so much that Zach said in there, and I think if you're an Eagles fan, you gotta love his answer to this question about what motivates you. Because he said the motivation is never, never be satisfied with what I've done recently. And, and he said, if I was motivated by winning a Super Bowl, then I would have been satisfied 2 years ago. If I was motivated by setting a record for most, I would have been satisfied last year. But here's where it comes into everything that we're talking about with building the brand and then building the brand of Jesus.
Yeah.
He says, constantly trying to improve, be one of the best tight ends to play this game, but ultimately glorify the Lord through it all is the biggest thing. He's given me so many gifts to play this game and surrounded me with so many people that got me here that I'm just trying to do the best I can every day and improve each and every day. So he's recognizing, one, he's not satisfied. So if you're an Eagles fan, Zach is not, he's going out there to try to be one of the best.
Back.
Yeah, he wants to be a Hall of Famer. They want to win multiple Super Bowls.
Right.
They want to do the best they can. There are athletes out there who sometimes get paid, get a championship, and go through the motions.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know anybody on this team that does that, and I can tell you Zach isn't. But then he's trying through it all, utilizing it to glorify the Lord.
I mean, I can personally tell you, that... even on days that, you know, Zach and Julie don't get to see each other very often as much as he just said, and as much as they'd like, I've watched them time and time again, even on the days that they have together, they're out working out together, they are out running and training.
How crazy is that?
I know,
right?
I'm thinking, I'm sitting on the couch eating bonbons with my wife, like, this is nuts.
Like, let's chill for a minute.
Right, but they understand the platform they have.
Yeah.
They understand who they are,
awesome.
And you know, one of the things that they really stand on, and I think so many of the guys do, you know, is kind of that 1 Corinthians 10:31 moment where whatever you do, whether you eat or drink, do it all for the glory of God. Mm-hmm. And so, again, the platform is glory of God.
Yeah.
How
yeah.
I live that out brand is
yeah.
what I eat and what right. I drink, right?
Yeah.
So how
yeah.
I do those things in life. And when you have that, when you actually have that settled, can I just really encourage you?
Mm-hmm.
If you're struggling to find some peace in your life,
mm-hmm.
when you have that settled, about what is the platform? Who is it that I'm trying to glorify? What is this life really about? It brings peace into you because the vision that you have for your life enables you to know what to say yes to and know what to say no to. And I'm not just talking about things to eat or drink. I'm talking about opportunities out there, relationships that you could or couldn't get into. For some of these guys, it's marketing opportunities. Do I actually put my name behind that or not behind that? But in everything that we do, when you start with this, my platform is to glorify God, then it determines what I eat, drink, dress, say, live, and do in life.
It's difficult when you are in their position with that platform and you have so many opportunities. And so many plethora people are they're coming at you to put your name behind this and put your name behind that. Oh, and you'll get $1 million for this, or you'll get 2.5, or whatever piece you're getting to put your name behind that. But and this is this one really hits home for me, because there are opportunities to represent brands that you don't feel align with your walk and who you are.
Absolutely right.
So true.
And sometimes you may represent yourself as a Christian or as an ambassador for Christ, but you become so caught up in being part of the crowd or having the job that you have and living that lifestyle and that you will be willing to represent or read a commercial for, or do anything along the lines like that, that should that somebody will listen to and look back and say, hey, yeah, but you know what? I thought he's a believer.
Yeah.
I thought he's a Christian.
That's so true.
And people come to me all the time and say, you know, I like to listen to you, because I had a guy call up the other day and he said, my pastor likes to listen, but he gets so tired of hearing different things, and sometimes it's the commercials and sometimes it's the conversation. But I tell him, don't worry, you could listen to Rob Motti's show, because it's not going to be like that. And I don't want to be the voice for just a pastor.
No, I appreciate that, though.
You know what I mean? But we have to be careful that we don't get so caught up in the job that we have or what we're trying to do, that you want to do a commercial or you want to do a read for something that doesn't represent. Because who's the brand that we're trying? Ultimately, it's not. I'm not glorifying me. I might make an extra few thousand bucks or whatever by doing this, but that's not representing Christ the way he wants to be represented. No. And that's very difficult. Sometimes guys lose sight of that, and it's a struggle. Every opportunity that comes along, I have to look at it 16 different ways.
Yeah.
Like, even with kids, like our kids, they come home from school and they're like, you're like, oh, mommy, you know, so-and-so did this. And it's so weird, because she's a Christian. And I'm like,
how crazy is that? How crazy is that?
They're six, and they understand how they should represent.
Absolutely.
They understand how they should be or how they act. And I'm like, I know, honey, but we're all learning. We're all struggling.
We all make mistakes.
We're all growing in this process.
We're all growing.
We all make mistakes.
But I was like, but you
know
what?
I always try to tell them
that. You did the right thing for not engaging
with this one.
So it starts young.
Yeah.
So mommies out there, just start them young and let them know who they represent and how they should act and how they should be. Because that, you know what? If someone doesn't know Christ at that young age and they look at them and they know that they, you know, they're Christians, they would actually come to Jesus because of that.
They could.
They could. Absolutely.
And they would actually ask questions.
Yeah.
I mean, they're the one kid that used to bother them, that used to be the bully, is now actually their friend.
How crazy
so
is that?
So that is, I think that's pretty awesome.
But the cool thing is, not to make sure, like when they come to us and say that, I never want to condemn the other
the person. It's not about the person.
It's like we all make mistakes.
We all make mistakes.
You know, I'm always pointing out, like, you saw daddy 15 minutes ago or something like that.
Yeah, we all flip
out. Rob, we were talking about this earlier. Like, that's those times when the brand influences the platform.
Yes.
Right? So when we're saying, I know this is my platform, but I'd really like to make more money, or this not so bad, or whatever. So that we're all tempted to do that. And I really appreciate what you just said. You know, in those moments when we have to point those things out to our kids or in a relationship or even on a platform that's bigger, we can talk about a principle, but we should never actually ostracize the person,
right?
Because we're all broken. And we need the grace that only God can bring.
Absolutely.
I wanted to get into what Zach said about Carson. We're going to be out of time, but we're going to have Carson upcoming maybe next week or the week after, so we can tie that into there and bring that the quote about Carson's relationship and Nick Foles' relationship. So thank you to everyone for listening. Thank you to all our followers. Big thanks to our guest today, Zach Ertz, and to our new EVP of Business Operations and Production, Doug Horton. Huge thank you to Pastor Scott Foreman for the excellent work he does on our website, podcast, blog, everything he does to make us present better. Thanks, Jim Henderson. He does tremendous work for us behind the scenes. Brett Kronberger and Ryan Lennox, thank you for producing the show. 610 ESPN Philly, 107.5 Alive, Enjoy FM Sports. Thank you for airing Faith on the Field show, presented by Cairn University. For Kyle and Remy, I'm Rob Motti, reminding you, make a difference. Be a blessing.
Located in Langhorne, Pennsylvania, just 25 minutes from Philadelphia, Karen University is the right place for students to get a dynamic experience centered on Christ and His Word. Students are equipped professionally, personally, and spiritually, and make an impact on the local community and surrounding cities. Karen is close to everything that matters for future educators, pastors, social workers, entrepreneurs, musicians, and more. See if Karen is the right place for you. Schedule a visit today at karen.edu/visit.